Oh, I'm glad for you. That's
yeah,
great.
Thanks. Yeah.
Good service.
Yeah. Well, there's a parallel strike. I guess it should be.
Yeah.
So you have to stay there.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I scheduled my equity meeting just so that you could be here. So.
Okay.
Yeah,
go.
Okay. Good.
That would work.
All right. Good afternoon, everybody. It is Wednesday, August 10th, 2011. It is 2 p.m. Council convenes in the afternoon session. Sue, can you please call the roll?
Sure. Saltzman.
Here.
Leonard.
Here.
Fritz.
Here.
Fish.
Here.
Adams.
Here. We have three items, two time certains. For those listening in, I don't think that the 3 p.m. will take any more than a half hour. So if folks working on the draft food scrap composting rate issue, well, if you could be ready to go in council chambers around 3:30, that would be great. All right. The first time certain is a resolution. Sue, could you please read the item, the title for item number 863.
Approve the 19th Amendment to the Oregon Convention Center Urban Renewal Plan to establish authority to allow urban renewal funds to be expended on the Veterans Memorial Coliseum, a publicly owned building.
So this city council is the first city council in 16 odd years to actually make a decision about whether or not the now called Veterans Memorial Coliseum should stay or go. And as a result of that, the item is before the city council that allows us to begin moving forward with potential renovation of the Coliseum. And I'd like to first of all thank PDC Chair Scott Andrews for your leadership in helping with the Rose Quarter effort, and specifically the most recent work on the Veterans Memorial Coliseum. To have your leadership and your subject area expertise in this area, facilities and their renovation, has been incredibly helpful, and I appreciate that. I'd also up front like to thank the Portland Winterhawks, specifically Doug Piper and his great team, the owner of the Portland Winterhawks, for their fantastic work in taking a franchise and really just taking it to a whole new level in terms of fan base, in terms of quality of the sporting event, and it's great. It's a lot of fun, and it's family-friendly, and we're grateful for that. I also want to thank the Portland Trailblazers, Chris Oxley, Larry Miller, before them, Jay Isaac, the entire team, for your work on the Rose Quarter Advisory Committee, and specifically your work with the Winterhawks and us on Memorial Coliseum, Veterans Memorial Coliseum. Today is an important step forward in figuring out the Rose Quarter. And today is council consideration of an amendment to the Oregon Convention Center Urban Renewal Plan that would allow for the use of tax increment financing to improve the facility. This is not budget authorization to do the capital work. This is $2 million to take low confidence, very rough draft, low confidence and a rough draft of renovation items, improvement items to the Coliseum. It allows us to demonstrate to the Winterhawks, to the Trailblazers, and other potential private investors that the city is serious in our efforts to come to a potential public-private agreement to renovate the Coliseum. I'd also like to thank urban designer Mike McCullough, who's going to provide us an update in the bigger context of redesign, reinvigoration of the Rose Quarter. Then we will, after we hear from Chair Scott and Mr. McCullough, then we'll hear from Doug Piper and Chris Oxley. So with that, I would like to turn it over to Chair Andrews.
Thank you, Mayor, Commissioners. Good to see you this afternoon. I wanted to reiterate that the purpose today is simply to amend the Oregon Convention Center articles for the Urban Renewal District. The law requires that the plan actually specifically state that we can use TIF proceeds on a publicly owned building in this particular district. That's not within the agreement at this point. So we are not actually asking you to move forward on the project, but what this will allow us to do is to hire the architects and engineers that we need to take the high-level costs that we currently have low confidence in. There's a 25% contingency in the numbers that you have seen, to a high level of confidence, a level at which we'll be able to decide on which pieces actually become a part of the project and when that they happen. We appreciate you being here or letting us be here today. Let me make two quick comments or point out two things. When we were before you last about Memorial Coliseum, there was some discussion about using all of the last $21 million that were found for this particular project. And although it's still in the budget, the agreement is, and part of this agreement, part of what you pass today will provide that the normal TIF set aside for this district will be used. There's about $5.6 million of the $21 that will go to the Housing Bureau. And the other piece of it was that we also agreed that you would decide on the long-term TIF policy prior to actually approving the project. We expect that to happen probably November or December of this year, and I think we're well along. I fully expect that you will have come to an agreement on that matter as well by the time we get to asking you to move forward on the construction. So let me give you a little progress report on three of the major topics. Mike McCullough is here with me. He is going to report shortly on the Rose Quarter District planning effort and how this fits into it. We expect that planning effort to be complete in October of this year. As I previously mentioned, the cost estimating for the Veterans Memorial Coliseum is currently at the 30% level. If there's approval today, we will get responses to a request for proposal tomorrow, actually, from the architectural and engineering world. And we expect to have that work done and costing done in November of this year. Finally, a very important document, the redevelopment agreement. You will remember, I'm sure, the time and effort that went into the redevelopment agreement at Geldwin. This will be similar in many ways in that there's a user, there's an owner, it's a private, a public facility, there's a construction contract going on. But in this case, it's probably even a little bit more complex. We have just started that process, and we expect to have that completed and before you in December of this year or January of next year. I did want to reiterate Sam's comment to begin with. I can't thank you enough for having made the decision to move forward on renovating Memorial Coliseum, Veterans Memorial Coliseum. It has been one of the reasons why the redevelopment of the district has not happened. When it's a question as to a facility of this size prominence in the district as to what it's going to be, makes it pretty hard to plan around. And this decision is going to help that. And of course, the decision that you made last month on the interstate expansion was another leg of that. So there's more certainty, and I think at the end of the day, it's going to help us see the development there that we would all very much like to see. What we want to do, we're working very hard to actually start construction in February of next year on items that could be renovated or replaced without putting the Memorial Coliseum out of action. The plan at this point, if we do move forward, would be to close Memorial Coliseum in June of 2012, and it would not reopen until about mid-September. During that time frame, the things like replacing the ice that couldn't possibly happen while the Memorial Coliseum in its operation would happen. There probably would be more work to be done after that September date, after the reopening date, but again, the plan would be that all of the things that would be super disruptive to the actual use of the Coliseum would happen in that downtime. I'm going to come back to the high-level costs and the uses of the Coliseum, but I'd like to turn it over now to Michael McCullough to talk a little bit about the Rose Quarter planning process.
Thank you, Scott, and thank you, Mr. Mayor and Commissioners. This is this has been a real, really interesting year, and I think a very, very productive year. A year ago, I was asked to look at a 40 to 50 year window out into the future so that whatever we did in terms of short-term development of the Rose Quarter, we wouldn't be tripping over ourselves in the next phase and the next phase, digging up the street after we just put the sewers in, that kind of thing. So I'm glad to report that under the mayor's leadership, the stakeholders advisory group has been very consistent and very clear in their goals, and I have been working closely with them to try to achieve those goals in the long run. And I'm also happy to report that there's been quite a bit of cooperation from all of the entities that are involved there, from ODOT to PBOT to TriMet to Parks. Everyone who has been involved has been flexible, open, and looking forward to the implications of this first phase and then looking forward to the long-term development of the quarter. The character of the quarter as it's emerging from the advice of the stakeholders advisory and from the design work that we've done is really characterized as a kind of a district of sport. This is not going to be a district where we just take the patterns of Irvington and kind of stretch it all the way down to the river, nor is it going to be a ballpark, nor is it going to be a kind of foreign mall that has just foreign entities in it. It's going to be an authentic district that's really grown out of the culture that we have here.
I take objection to the term foreign entities. Okay.
Well, first, I can object that it's not going to be a ballpark.
Sorry, okay. To continue. We didn't mean to interrupt.
And I object to their comments generally.
Should we revisit the ballpark? No. But seriously, I think there has been a real effort on the part of everyone who's been involved to focus on this kind of authenticity. And as Scott mentioned, the importance of making sure that the Memorial Coliseum, the Veterans Memorial Coliseum, stays and takes its rightful position as being the centerpiece. Imagine, if you will, that is the center of a series of concentric rings of development that we hope will continue to grow. We're certainly working on those concentric rings at the moment, and we have every reason to be optimistic that more development will occur. There will be a mix of uses in the area. There will be housing. There will be offices. There will be, again, as the mayor instructed all of us, there will be essentially a court or a playing surface on every horizontal surface in the Rose court.
A few vertical ones, too.
And a few vertical ones. So I think it's going to be a very exciting evolution of this place, and I just want to give you the confidence that the level of cooperation is really sort of unprecedented in my experience as an urban planner. So this is an important first step. The Coliseum, I think, as it gets triggered in this first phase, will be opening itself to the river. It will re-energize the plaza out in front of it that is shared with the Rose Garden. It will reanimate the parking structures. And I think with all the other investments that the city has made in the infrastructure there, it will begin to take its place as something like the Pioneer Courthouse Square of the East Side. So I think it has a future to draw amateur as well as professional performances and industry as well as these professional franchises. So I'd be happy to go into any more detail, but I think that's kind of my report.
I think your vision points are great. I'd just underscore and that it move forward, you know, our economic development strategy around traded sector, bringing more wealth, jobs, high-paying jobs into the community, and the opportunity to do that by supporting the outdoor and athletic cluster, which, you know, has a lot of highly visible large brands. But also we know from our work on the cluster industry that it also has, you know, over 400 very small some still traded sector, but very small firms. So this is we have the opportunity to move forward small business and increase exports.
Indeed.
All right, and more?
Yes. The next slide actually summarizes what we see as the current sources and potential uses of revenue on the Veterans Memorial Coliseum. I know that you have all seen the cost estimate summary. It's currently all in, including the contingency, $52 million. I will tell you that nobody expects it to be a $52 million project. We're only going to do this one time in probably 40 years. So with the input of OMF, the Winterhawks, Blazers, other users and interested parties, we're looking at all of the good things that could happen. But I doubt that we can afford to do all of them. It's broken into three pieces: repair and maintenance, which includes ADA compliance, roof, electrical, elevator, et cetera, is roughly $34 million. What we call spectator enhancements at $16 million, and $2.4 million for memorial gardens, exhibit halls, and creating a new transition from the concourse to the bowl. The resources that we currently see are approximately $17 million from PDC. That's 14.6 left from the earlier number that we talked about in the budget process, and another $2.5 million coming as Interstate, as we transfer some land from OCC into Interstate. Interstate actually has to reimburse OCC, so there's a little bit more resources there that we will have to make available. We have interest from the private sector, from the Winterhawks in particular, at a number that has been discussed around $10 million. We have $9.5 million of historic tax credits that we feel very confident with. And finally, we're also pursuing new market tax credits. We think we could get up to $10 million. They're less certain. It's a highly complex transaction to begin with, and adding them creates another level of difficulty. Nonetheless, we're going to make a great effort at trying to see whether it makes sense for us to go at them and what it is that we could get.
So, Scott, what was I was kind of adding those numbers in my head, and I came up with $46
million. Let's see, 17, 27, I think $56 million. If we could get the 10 in the new market tax credits.
So
10 new market, 9.5 historic, 19.5, 10 from the
private. What is your green bar that says spectator experience of almost?
Spectator 19. Experience, yeah, those are the spectator enhancements.
So if you look at your list, these are the categories of the types of things that are on the list.
For revenue sources.
For expenditure, this list. It categorizes some of the expenditures as just basic repair and upgrades. Some, they're not worn, but, for example, the seats are a source of massive complaints. They're too small. And then the blue is other upgrades that might be commercially focused.
Right.
So this is expenditures.
Yeah. So there. Yeah. We broke it into just pure repair. If we didn't do anything but fix the existing structure, seats, what is it that we could do that would actually enhance? And then finally, some special items, which include the memorial gardens.
So I wanted to follow up on if you've identified resources that are in excess of the $52.4 million, why is it that you can't?
As I mentioned, the new market tax credits are far less certain. We don't have a deal in terms of the private enhancements, in terms of the private investment. By getting these plans priced and moving this forward, we'll be in a position to work with the private investor, because they will get to see what it is that the city and PDC is investing in and what their dollars would go forwards, and they're interested in seeing a spectator enhancement. So they want to make sure that we're going to do a good job of renovating before they're interested in a further investment.
So I'm sorry to do this, but would you mind identifying those numbers again that you just gave?
Okay.
The PDC amount.
17.1 for PDC.
Okay.
10 from private investment. 9.5 from historic tax credits, and up to 10 for the new market tax credits. 10 would be a huge, huge number for new market tax credits.
Yeah.
The project would have to be at $50 million, and we would have to get $50 million worth of tax credits to net the $10 million.
I still get $46 million. What, you said 58. Where did you get that?
I must have added wrong.
Okay. I get like 36.5 million or 36.6 million is what.
17.
I think you're off by 10. If the new market in it, then it would be a total of 46.6.
I've got 17.1 from PDC, private investment 10, which makes that 27. Historic, yeah, you're right. So 46.1.
Yep.
So but we could potentially get as much as $46.1 million. Up to that amount.
And that at this point, those are the resources that we've identified. We've been told that there's nothing available from OMF.
Right.
So, yes.
But if the total budget would be 52.4, we're in the ballpark.
We're in the ballpark. As I said, nobody expects it to be a $52 million project at the end of the day.
That mean just to clarify, so that means we expect it to be less than
52.4? We expect it to be less, yes.
Okay. Less because of the RFP process or less because we won't do all of the projects?
Less. I'm hopeful less because we have 25% contingency in here.
Okay. So we can do all the projects.
So when we get through this process and get the engineering and construction done, we'll have like 95%. We'll have a 5% contingency or an 8% contingency. And we'll have a high level confidence of it. Also, there are actually some items in here that I understand. I can't tell you which ones, but if you did one, you couldn't do another. You're probably, well, I don't want to guess at this point, but it's not a $52 million project.
But I maybe implicit in your questions for the public, it is a lot more than we thought we had 3 years ago, because
mm-hmm.
the number of market, the availability of the tax increment is new. The historic designation makes historic tax credits available. So, yeah, folks are surprised, it's because there have been some changes, or that we've had some good fortune.
And Mayor, I know you've, I think this has been clarified on the record, but it's worth just making sure everyone understands that the 17.1 that you're talking about in terms of the PDC investment represents roughly 74% of the available TIF. It's exclusive of the set aside money.
Yeah, you might remember a couple years ago we were not getting to the full debt that the district is allowed because the property tax rates hadn't gotten high enough for us to be able to create bonds to get there. Then a couple years ago, there was talk that we could squeeze another $21 million out, but they would have to be zero interest bonds because of how the district was growing. We've now been told about 6 months ago that it's grown enough that the entire 21 roughly can be issued. So using the usual TIF set aside for that district, that takes the 21 to 14.6. The other 2.5 is not new TIF revenue. It is actually interstate purchasing property that's currently in Oregon Convention Center because it will become part of their district. OCC bought it. It's sitting there as an asset. So it's not TIF resources. It's an asset.
The other thing I'd probably be useful just to make sure it's part of the record that for example, the new market tax credits, the historic tax credits, those are uniquely available to, potentially available to this facility because of its size and because of its historic condition and because of how new market tax credits, if we get them, sort of what the market is interested in.
Right.
And that we definitely could use the urban renewal resources, net the housing proceeds in other parts of the Oregon Convention Center, although they were unanticipated until recently. But these are not resources that we could spend, for example, in Southwest Portland or East Portland. These are resources that are tied geographically to this general area of town?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Okay, finally, before we have our other guests come in, I wanted just to quickly review kind of the diverse role that the Veterans Memorial Coliseum serves. There's obviously the spectator uses, but there's also community events, and there are exhibit halls and meeting rooms. And the plan is for those meeting rooms and exhibit halls, at least within the Memorial Coliseum, becoming community resources. We want to enhance and increase that role with this renovation and encourage and promote a wider event mix, as well as maintain, you know, its the functionality of the building as it currently sits. There were 131 events in the Memorial Coliseum last year, over 400,000 spectators, and we think that we can do a lot better with that with a renovated facility. Finally, what's next? As I said earlier, in November, we expect the cost estimating to be complete. We'll have a much clearer use of the financial sources that we just ran through and have a much better feel for what will be available or what might work in terms of the new market tax credits. In December or January, we want to have the redevelopment agreement negotiated and ready for you to approve. In February and March, we could start with early stage improvements, and in June, the capital, heavy capital renovation begins, and the Memorial Veterans Memorial Coliseum shuts down for 3.5 months. In the fall, roughly mid-September, there would be a reopening. As I said, it's not anticipated that the construction would be complete, but the construction of the disruptive work would be complete. So there's an awful lot of work to go on between now and then, but we're all dedicated to see that this project gets off the ground. It's very important that we get it off the ground next year. Pam has been holding this block of space off the market, and because people want to book this far in advance, and so it's important that we use that space that has been set aside.
Calendar time.
With that, I would like to introduce our friends from the Winterhawks and from PAM, Chris Oxley and Doug Piper. After you.
Well, thank you, Mayor Adams, members of council. Once again, my name is Chris Oxley. I'm the general manager of the Rose Quarter. On behalf of the Rose Quarter and Portland Trailblazers, I'm here to speak in support of council action on the 19th Amendment of the OCC Urban Renewal Plan. We certainly appreciate the thoughtful time and consideration that has been given to the Veterans Memorial Coliseum over the last few years. Proud to say we share a mutual goal in the revitalization of a historic community asset. We'd like to thank Mayor Adams in particular, Chair Andrews, Mike McCullough, PDC, for their leadership on this project thus far, but in particular the veterans community for their continued support and guidance through this process as of late. As all of you know, our organization holds a strong and sentimental bond to this building. Not only is it the Veterans Memorial Coliseum home of our proudest moment in Trailblazer history, the NBA championship, it's also a place where our staff, guests, fans, and community have made memories that have lasted a lifetime. Whether it's their first concert, the Grand Floral Parade, watching their kids compete in state championships, watching your kids graduate, or attending events that bring national attention to the city, much like the Dew Tour, which is back for its seventh straight year this year. We see what our facilities mean to the city and truly understand and respect the experiential opportunities that a facility like the Veterans Memorial Coliseum creates for our community. The Trailblazers and Rose Quarter staff will continue to be engaged and active in the renovation and revitalization of the Veterans Memorial Coliseum and the broader Rose Quarter District. We understand the significance this building brings as a community asset and that it holds a very strong emotional significance. The priority for our organization today focuses on our partnership with another of Portland's valued and historic franchises, the Portland Winterhawks. I'm proud to say today that our relationship has quite frankly, never been stronger. We're united in the goal of enhancing their business opportunities and understand that the renovation of the Veterans Memorial Coliseum is tantamount to their success. We respect the Winterhawks and their president, Doug Piper, and their willingness to examine partnership opportunities that will afford them a renewed opportunity to grow and sustain their business, and most importantly, assist them with the resources necessary to continue the long tradition of hockey in the city of Portland. We see the revitalization of the Veterans Memorial Coliseum as a critical step in laying a foundation for all that is possible with the Winterhawks, the VMC, and the Rose Quarter at large. Lastly, I'd like to take the opportunity to thank City Council for your ongoing advocacy of sports in this community. We appreciate each of you recognizing that the people of Portland will continue to passionately rally around our teams, allowing us to provide the stage to showcase our city throughout the world. So with that, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Oxley. Mr. Piper.
Thank you. I'm Doug Piper, president of the Portland Winterhawks Hockey Club. On behalf of the owner of the Portland Winterhawks, Mr. Bill Gallagher, and the president of our parent company, Avenir Sports and Entertainment, Mr. Ken Stickney, it's my pleasure to report our continued enthusiasm for our organization to play the role of private equity partner within the City of Portland's project to renovate Veterans Memorial Coliseum. We would like to commend the extraordinary efforts of the Portland Development Commission, the Mayor's Office, the City of Portland's Office of Management and Finance, and the Portland Trailblazers for the countless hours over the last several months to move this project forward. Although these efforts have largely been beyond public view, I can assure you that many months of multiple weekly meetings have taken place in order to move this project forward at a rapid pace. It is our belief that the Veterans Memorial Coliseum has served the needs of our community very well over the last 50 years, and that those needs will continue to exist for the next 50 years. We are pleased that our role as primary tenant and private equity investor can stabilize the project financially, giving the city the economic ability to retain this unique public asset and national historic structure. The Winterhawks are also pleased to be working alongside our above-mentioned partners to play a major role in restoring the Veterans Memorial Gardens as part of this master plan. We extend our thanks to Mr. Tony Stacy and Mr. Harley Wydell for representing the veterans community on this important aspect of the project. By passing the 19th Amendment, City Council will help us maintain the current momentum of the project, which is of primary importance to our involvement. It is imperative that the design and cost certainty be achieved in a time frame commensurate with our collective work on the redevelopment agreement, all of which are well underway. Again, thank you for allowing the Portland Winterhawks the opportunity to play the role in the city's Veterans Memorial Coliseum renovation project. We appreciate it.
Well, first, Doug, congratulations on an outstanding year for the Winterhawks. You and Bill just have to be thrilled. It was telling to me, having worked with you as a manager of the organization and the prior ownership, what a difference just in managers brings to the success of the team.
Thank you very much.
An exciting year. I'm curious, from your perspective, obviously you've brought the ingredient of a well-managed organization that brings success, which by itself attracts fans, but the condition of the building itself that causes you to be interested in investing as much as $10 million and maybe more in it. What is it that brings you in terms of people attending that's not happening now?
Well, it gives us a permanent home that helps our schedule. I mean, from a business point of view, scheduling is an issue, and we love playing in the Rose Garden. The Trailblazers are great landlords for us, but at the same time, we have to share scheduling with the Trailblazers, and our business is very dependent on weekend dates, Fridays and Saturday nights, and when we can't get those in the Rose Garden, we take them in the Coliseum. Currently, the Coliseum as a spectator facility is less desirable than the Rose Garden for obvious reasons, and we feel that this investment would give us a much greater opportunity to control our schedule more effectively, create a home of our own. It's a little bit difficult for season ticket holders to have two sets of tickets and go back and forth and that sort of thing. Plus, we feel that the history of the Coliseum, we believe the Coliseum is a fabulous building that's just run down. It's architecturally very
an icon.
Great for our business.
I've been told it's an icon.
Yeah, it's an icon. Yeah, that's right. And
if
you've ever attended a game there during the day, when the curtains are open, it's one of the most unique hockey experiences available. So for that reason, it's important for us. And keep in mind that we're not just this project isn't just about helping the Winterhawks, because we only play 36 games there in a regular season. The 131 to 200 events, this is really a much bigger project, and we're anxious as corporate citizens to be a part of something that can give back to the community. You mentioned the difference between us and prior ownership. We're trying very hard to be good corporate Portland citizens, and we think that this is a way to do it. And we believe we can do it in such a way to get a return on our investment as well. But there's a lot of other things you could do with your money that probably be a little less risky. So, it's the combination of all those things that I think makes us anxious to be a part of all this.
So if we do the improvements that the $46.6 million may allow us to do, all of the improvements, would it be your plan to permanently have the Winterhawks in the Coliseum and no longer use the Rose Garden?
Well, we're leaving that door open a little bit, because there might be special events that we would require more capacity that the Rose Garden could have. And it also has – there's some meeting facilities and other things that could happen at the Rose Garden. Plus the fact that as good campus partners, it may be valuable for the overall good of the campus that we may play a game or two in the Rose Garden. But for the most part, we're really trying to make – the Coliseum our home, where our banners will be, hung from the rafters, and it'll be, designed and built around our history. And so, we're leaving the door open a little bit, but we definitely are putting our eggs into the Coliseum basket.
So I'm correct then when I'm listening to your responses that it's your belief that these improvements will make the experience such that people will like going to the Coliseum to watch hockey and not prefer to be in the Rose Garden over the Coliseum.
It's my intention that with the remodel of the Coliseum, that we'll have the same impact that we've had with the remodel of PGE Park into the Gelbin Field. I think they've done a beautiful job.
Yeah.
I think this is exactly the same type of project that we're going at it a little bit different way. There's a little more people involved than there were in that deal, but the outcome, taking an old building and turning it into something spectacular, where in itself, just going to the building, regardless of the soccer, it's a great experience, and that's what we're after with the Coliseum.
That's very helpful for me to understand what we're doing. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to insert here that I've asked Commissioner Leonard to reprise the Butch Cassidy and Sundance efforts. That he's a smart negotiator, among other things, and so I've asked him to join us in our discussions on this project as well, and you've agreed, right? Great. Thanks.
That'd be great.
So, Scott, I've been in the Memorial Coliseum for a variety of different things in the last couple of years. My daughter graduated from there, and I was struck that the seats seem to be geared for people who are about 3 feet tall. There's no leg room, and these are the original seats, I guess, so I don't know how people watch basketball games.
We were shorter back then.
Yeah.
I've been there for, my daughter's taken me to dance contests where her friends are participating, so it's a big high school dance venue. I've been there for concerts where they've had, amazing settings for concerts sort of in the round. And there's other things we've gone there for, and my recollection is that we've had major tennis events there.
Track.
So... is the idea that once this is brought up to standards and becomes a better venue, we'll be able to, in the days that you're not programming it and you're not programming it, to do the concerts and the tie-ins with the school districts and perhaps PSU, land some NCAA events, and begin to activate it so it's regularly used for all kinds of things?
Absolutely. Yeah. Just for example, we've had some preliminary discussions with the folks at Portland State about moving their basketball program to the renovated Coliseum. The plan is to replace the seats, and I think it becomes about an 8,300 seat stadium because you can't change the bowl. That's how much bigger seats are today versus 11,200. You know, PSU is talking about building their own new facility, and their goal is to build an 11,000 spectator stadium, which would be used for a wide variety of uses as well. The biggest thing that they've got now is the gym, and it holds 1,300 people. So as sort of an interim, to go from that 1,300 to a renovated Memorial Coliseum while they're working on the funding for their new facility makes a lot of sense. That's just one of the kind of creative ideas that these guys have been working on to bring more and better events. We would like that place to be busy every day. Between the Rose Garden and Memorial Coliseum, that would be the goal.
And frankly, you know, one other idea, since as the Parks Commissioner, we host a lot of the events on Tom McCall Waterfront Park, which are proliferating at such a point that basically we have to put a fence around the park through most of the summer. We'd love there to be some alternative venues down the road where we can do larger scale events that are accessible and not exclusively rely on taking parkland and putting a fence around it. So there might be some interesting opportunities there as well.
So I guess I'd like to ask, maybe starting with Mr. Piper and Mr. Oxley, is there any reliance on your ownership groups on any expectation of subsidy for food service establishments, entertainment venues, either operating or capital?
I'm not sure I understand the question. I think I can answer it for you.
No, there's restaurants.
We're actually
entertainment venues equals nightclubs.
We actually believe don't believe that we're going to need to change the current operating agreement that you have with PAM. That operating agreement expires in 2013. There are 2 5-year options to renew. I think they fully intend to renew them. The terms of that agreement basically provide that the city maintains the facility, that in profitable years the city gets 60% of the profit, the other 40% is split between PAM and 20% going into a sinking fund for improvements. We're not anticipating any change to that structure.
Okay, let me get an answer from Mr. Piper. Do your ownership groups expect any kind of an operating or capital subsidy for restaurants, nightclubs?
Yeah, we don't have any plans.
Retail space.
The only plans we have for restaurants or retail space would be our own retail space and the restaurants inside the Coliseum that would service our client base. We're not looking for anything to happen off events that makes this important and makes this move work for us. What happens to the Rose Quarter?
Who makes those restaurants happen at the Coliseum?
Well, we will collectively decide what kind of renovation goes into the Coliseum, and restaurants, much like what's in the Rose Garden, would be added to the facility to service the event mix. We're not trying to be dependent on what was originally talked about for the Rose Quarter, which was to bring in Kachina and those kinds of restaurants that would help keep the campus lively during off times. That's all part of whatever happens with the Rose Quarter development plan, which is the next phase. Our only interest is that the Coliseum be made in such a way that we can use it for our events and the events that it services on an event basis, not as a destination.
Food service establishments would be related to your games provided by the Winterhawks organization.
Well, we have an operating agreement with.
I just want to.
My bottom line is.
Yeah, I don't understand.
Whatever we do with the Rose Quarter, I'm convinced it's never going to be a place where people want to eat or dine before games, after games, and certainly when there's no games there. So I think that
we can disagree
we've had
with
that
you
experience.
On that if we
well,
want
you can
to,
disagree
but
with
we're not
me,
dependent on it.
But,
we're
know,
not dependent on
it's
it.
It's one thing to vision it. I think that's one thing to look at the track record that's occurred there in the Rose Quarter.
Yeah.
And I think the answer is loud and clear.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to see any PDC dollars, and I'm prepared to offer this as an amendment if necessary,
yeah,
go towards operating or capital subsidies to any restaurants or nightclubs.
Well, I would
I would proffer that's rushing way ahead. And you
I don't want to miss the train and be fine. You
can offer your
tell them too late.
You can offer your amendment if you want. Veterans Memorial Coliseum does not have food service, for example, facilities in its facilities. So we're happy to take your input, and obviously it'll be a decision of council, but I also don't want to misinform you by using words, and you know, there are details here that I'm not sure. We got your point, but does a food service kitchen, you know, commercial kitchen in Veterans Memorial Coliseum that also serves banquets and, you know, smaller rental groups and everything else, I mean, does that fall under your definition of the words you're using? I don't know. We're going to definitely work that out. I get your point.
From my opinion.
I know, and I'm responding. I don't agree with your opinion in terms of it's not a place when we do the whole Rose Quarter that people might want to hang out. I have higher aspirations for our work in the rest of the Rose Quarter than that.
I have those higher aspirations, but I don't want to take that risk. I don't want to see taxpayers bearing
that risk. We're not at that point. That's not the discussion point in front of us today.
I'm just trying to figure out if this is a relevant discussion at this point. Is there anything in proposal that we're voting on that contemplates spending any money developing a nightclub-style restaurant?
No. There's the only thing that's related to it is there is no food service preparation in the Memorial Coliseum currently. Everything is prepared off-site.
I don't think that's what Commissioner Saltzman said.
If you review the record, Commissioner Saltzman said, servicing your events and your games. Right. And there might be other rentals within the facility. There are rooms that are rented separately from everything else going on in the facility. And I don't want to lead you astray or anyone listening astray. Those kinds of details, though, have to be worked out.
Those aren't restaurants. We're not contemplating a restaurant. We might contemplate having
the specific
food
quote
preparation.
The food specific quote was around games.
Well,
so I'm just clarifying.
Well, even more to the point would be my concern about any. I'm talking about public subsidy.
Yeah, subsidy.
So I mean, if your ownership group wants to take a gamble on a restaurant that could serve the public 365 days a year,
yeah,
more power to you.
Totally understand.
I don't want to see PDC getting involved in that.
But Dan, you're not talking about. Yeah. If they prepare food in the Coliseum to sell hot dogs and hamburgers at games or events, you're talking about like a restaurant.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so can I just add one piece to this just by way of context? Because I agree with Sam, the mayor. I think this is premature, and I don't want to – this commissioner would like to see a creative process that comes back with visions and options that doesn't foreclose anything. You've got the exhibition space that we have to think about creatively. You've got a building that has a fantastic view of downtown, and that someone might come forward and say, give us a lease and we'll run a restaurant. I don't know. But I'll give the council context. When we took up the issue of the Madrona, which was the old, Randy?
Galaxy?
What was the hotel there?
Cosmopolitan.
It was Ramada.
Ramada.
The old Ramada.
It actually used to be the Holiday Inn originally.
Yeah. The old Holiday Inn. When we took that issue up, if you'll all remember, there was an industrial-sized kitchen in that building, which had not been used for a while. They weren't doing a lot of cooking at the end. And there was a live discussion about what to do with it. It turns out that through a creative use of public resources and partnerships, it became an enterprise kitchen that's used by some nonprofits to do their enterprise business. Job training, and it's part of the whole mission of the building. We might have said early on, this is a housing thing, let's get rid of this industrial kitchen. But by keeping it in the mix, we came up with something that turned it into a use that was never contemplated, and it became a profit center. So all I'm saying is Commissioner Saltzman has put down his marker about subsidizing restaurants in the area. I would like to see the fruits of your labor, and when we come back, there may be things that we don't want to fund. But that's not what you're asking us today. You're asking to do the analysis and the work to give us a menu. And I think each of us is going to have a different view of what should or shouldn't be in that menu.
And fundamentally, we want to make this building more compelling for people to rent and for people to attend the events that are staged there, and the district as a whole. We're just talking about the Veterans Memorial Coliseum today.
Again, using Geldwin Field as a model.
Yeah. Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you. Just on that topic, do we currently in the Rose Quarter, does the city subsidize the wages for the folks who serve food at games?
No.
Thank you.
Discussion?
Well, I guess these aren't directed towards Mr. Oxley or Mr. Piper or Mr. McCulloch, so maybe I'll just direct them to Scott since I don't see anybody else from PDC running up here, but I am concerned about the price tag. I mean, you keep saying that's a number we're not going to exceed. I guess my concern is quite the opposite, that once we get in there, the number is only going to grow, notwithstanding a 25% contingency, as well as the dreams and expectations of all the people, you know, not to overuse a pun, but of all the cooks in the kitchen who want to see their visions and dreams come in this magical redevelopment. And so I am concerned about that, and maybe you can talk me down from that, but I'm also concerned, and I know I've raised this with both of you yesterday through my staff, but $2 million in an engineering contract to go from 30% to 90% seems like a lot of money to me. And you just told me the RFPs are due in tomorrow, so I mean, we're talking in the press about $2 million. I guarantee you all the RFPs are going to come in at $2 million tomorrow. So,
well, it's a
seems like a lot of money.
It would be a very
competitive $2 million, and then
it's a very competitive
process.
What
kind of a backstop do we have about this being the most we're going to pay, as opposed to the first round?
Well, I want to speak to that as the liaison first. We share that concern. That's why we're taking this approach. We want to, you know, invest money where it makes the most sense. Like when the city gets tripped up over things, it's because we haven't done the upfront due diligence. And so there is a reasonable case to be made. We are fiduciarily responsible for this venue. We are responsible for figuring out within the resources that we have what are the priority renovations and improvements that need to be made. The only way to do that responsibly is to invest in what are now low confidence and get them to high confidence. So the reason we share your concern is why we've mapped out this approach. We have to get authorization in how much early money would be available for engineering and design. It will be, I have every confidence, well used and take us from low to high. In terms of the $52 million, we wanted to make sure that because this is such a large facility and it has many issues related to it, the early big net, $52 million, we've said at every point along the way, is exactly that. Every single point we talk about it being draft, expansive, it's going to get smaller. So I think we're being responsive to those concerns. More than responsive, we absolutely share those concerns. That's why we're doing it this way. There are other projects I look back on in the city I wish we would have done it this way, and we would have come out in the end in much better shape. Commissioner Fritz?
I think it also needs to be noted that one of the reasons that we're using tax increment financing for this needed maintenance on a public building, the Memorial Coliseum, is because we use the Spectator Fund to renovate Civic Stadium for the Timbers. So it's important to make sure that this signature building, as was stated during the presentation, that the state of this building is one of the reasons that the Rose Quarter hasn't fulfilled its potential, in my opinion. And so I think it's our duty as the City Council to make sure that we are equitable to the spectators who are using this facility as well.
Other council discussion? How many people have signed up?
We did not have anyone sign up.
Does anyone wish to testify on this matter? All right, so can you please call the vote?
Saltzman.
Well, I respect everybody's answers, but I'm also going to respectfully vote no on this.
Leonard.
Well, I find some irony in the arguments I've heard here today. I
was obviously a strong supporter of renovating Joe Winfield. Felt we had a strong partner there. When that same partner wanted to do something equally as dramatic at the Coliseum site, I know it didn't make my friends at the Winterhawks happy, but I supported the idea of replacing the Coliseum with a baseball stadium because I felt that this was such a crucial site. We needed to make something happen, and it required moving beyond our comfort zone and doing something akin to what we're doing here today to generate the kind of attendance at that site that I think it commands. I'm a little taken back by some of the opposition I'm hearing here today, because that's why I'm voting for it today, is because of the partnership we have with the new management at the Winterhawks, which I'd worked closely with the prior management. I would argue maybe closer than anybody on the council. Have not had to work as close with the new management, which is a testament to your good management, to put it that way. And you have succeeded where others have failed. And I think that your vision for the Coliseum demands more than what Commissioner Fritz referred to, which was doing the needed maintenance. It at least requires that investment, but also to go beyond just maintenance and improve the facility to reflect the era within which you're now playing hockey, and for the fans and for your bottom line as well, including the Blazers in managing the facility for us. So this is a big investment. I disagree that having a budget out there somehow suggests what contractors will come in and say, therefore, what they will do the improvements for. I've been through way too many of these, as has Commissioner Saltzman, when we do bids on huge projects to know better than that. It's a competitive market. I expect us to get as good a deal as we got at Gildwin Stadium at the Coliseum. Notwithstanding my prior position on the Coliseum, I think now that we do have it, we need to do everything in our power to not only have it succeed, but to help you succeed. And you can look forward for my remainder of my term here to be a strong partner with you in whatever venue I can to help you succeed. And I'll begin first today by voting yes.
Fritz.
Thank you all for being here today and for your diligent work on this. It has been a long project, and I appreciate you moving it forward. I'm particularly glad to see the 30% set aside for housing being honored, and I commend Commissioner Fish and Mayor Adams for committing to that ongoing. I know it makes it more challenging, and also it's the right thing to do, so thank you for that. My vote on preserving and renaming the Veterans Memorial Coliseum was one of the most satisfying of my first term. And I thank Gil Fry and Tony Stacey and other veterans who helped inform me about the importance of the social significance of the Coliseum, and Art DeMuro and Brian Libby and others who educated me on the architectural significance of this building. I hope next time I come to the Rose Quarter that I hear the informational audio tapes calling it the Veterans Memorial Coliseum, and I'm very glad that we are honoring our veterans and also enjoying this really special place. When I was thinking of the number of times that I've gone to the Rose Quarter as a whole and to the Coliseum, it's a place of joy. It's a place where the Winterhawks and the Blazers play, and even when you lose, I have a good time, and I go with my family, and it's a place where Portlanders go and people from around the region go to forget their cares for a while and enjoy an evening out or an afternoon out. It's a place for concerts and for high school graduations and for the Rose Festival and for wrestling. It's even a place for the Rebound Clinic, where my son went when he broke his hand playing basketball, broke his back playing tennis. It's a place where you get better. And it's, yeah, wow. I know. playing tennis.
Hopefully not falling down one of our stairs.
No, he didn't play there. He just, but they've got the clinic there, which is really great, and they serve kids no matter what their means are, and it's a wonderful service there. There's the service day for people experiencing homelessness, and where they can get their hair cut or get their blood pressure taken. And last but not least, it's a day where I've been for Veterans Day tributes. And it's joyful, and even in that instance, knowing that the people whose names are on the wall did not give their lives in vain, and that we remember their sacrifice as we pursue life, liberty, and happiness. So I'm very grateful to Mayor Adams and Chair Scott Andrews for your leadership in moving this forward. It's important that the city has finally identified a source of funds that will allow us to take care of this historic resource.
And indeed, the Blazers and the Winterhawks are a great asset to the city. I'm excited that we'll be improving the facility to allow you to play in a much improved facility while also including lots of folks in the community in gathering places and